I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 457. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. When we accept Christ's free gift of salvation, we are adopted into the family of God. We are children of God. And that's just what Ben Fuller sings about in his song, Who I Am. It inspired me to plumb the depths of a letter in the New Testament to see what I could learn about what it means to be a child of God. Before we dive into scripture, let's listen.
I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. It's who I am in the eyes of the Father.
Scripture direction this week comes from The Bridge, where Ben sings out, I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. In 1 John 3:1, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. I'm going to confess, I was leaning toward an area in Romans first, which in and of itself is no big deal. I mean, I guess the confession comes in because of why I was going to study in Romans. It was because the other area that came to mind was 1 John, and I've already spent time in 1 John recently, which is a ridiculous reason. You know, mixing it up for the podcast is not my goal. Discovering and meditating on scripture is my goal. And to be honest, I needed to stay put in 1 John for a bit. There's more to see. There's always more to see. So if you find yourself nibbling here and there in scripture, maybe you will benefit from sticking it out with me in 1 John for another week. Now, the other part of my confession is to acknowledge that you might be new to the podcast and have no idea that I used 1 John in episode 447 or 455. And if you're a regular listener, how pretentious of me to assume that you avidly listen to every single episode. Plus, I know some of you attend churches where the pastor is still in name the book you've been in for the last 2 years, and you glean wisdom and truth every week. So, this week I approached 1 John again, but I desired to approach it from a fresh place. You know, not from the abide versus sinning place that I landed in episode 447, or the abiding and loving place that we uncovered in episode 455. Both of these, by the way, are wonderful companion episodes to this one. No, I acted as if I hadn't read 1 John in ages. It's also been a pretty busy week, so I've really tried to multitask where I can, so I took the bite of listening to an audio version of the text. But I also wanted to follow along with the text. Now, BITE stands for Bible Interaction Tool Exercise, and these are the exercises that I use to keep my time in God's Word varied and effective, and listening to an audio version of the text is a very useful BITE. As part of my health journey, I've been incorporating more movement. I refuse to call it working out because there's something in my brain that is diametrically opposed to working out. You know, like I have friends who love CrossFit and they've invited me to join them on Friend Day. Friend Day sounds like torture day to me. So, I mean, I follow up and I'm like, what did I ever do to you? No. But anyway, we have workout equipment at our house. Pristine workout equipment, if you know what I mean. But I changed in my athletic wear, I put on socks and shoes, and I did the thing. And I put on the YouVersion app and I played the audio version of 1 John. And again, there's this convenient tray for my device right on the machine that I was using, and I was able to listen to the guy read 1 John. And then YouVersion has this function where the text scrolls along with the audio so that you can read along with it without having to touch the screen, which worked out nicely since I was grasping the handrails and gasping for air, as it has become abundantly clear that I need to move more. All right. But while listening and reading, I had my antenna up for two things. First of all, I took the bite of starting with God. Now, when you start with God, you look for his character, his conduct, and his concerns. And for this first pass, God's concerns rose to the surface for me. I heard many verses about abiding, and there was much to do about Jesus. And it's really important to God that we love each other. So if I did nothing else but identify these three areas that are of consequence to God, then I would have been ahead of the game. Read the Bible looking for what God is concerned about before you read the text looking for how he speaks to your concerns. The other thing I was looking for was inspired by our song. I was looking and listening for references to being a child of God and what this text could teach me about that. This is, after all, why I was drawn to 1 John in the first place. Again, our theme verse is 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. As I listened to 1 John, antenna up for God's concerns, I took note of words and phrases that were repeated. You see, when God repeats things in his word, it's like adding an exclamation point, and it should draw our attention. And I sort of already knew that God was concerned with abiding because it was that common denominator in my study times for episode 447 and 455. Now, the word abide, or a form of it, is repeated 23 times by my count. And basically, I just followed the bite of marking up the text, and I highlighted every time the word abide or a form of it, so like abide or abiding, was mentioned in 1 John. And I could go through the same process for the theme of loving each other and then Christ's role in all of it. But for the purpose of today's episode, let's meditate on abide. That's abide, by the way, meditating on God's word. And when you think deeply about it and you let it roll around in your mind a bit and ponder various aspects of it, that is what I mean by meditating. So what does it mean to abide? Well, according to my Logos Bible software, it comes from the Greek word meaning to stay. And in the theological handbook that I found, it's similar to the English word, again, to stay. And it's sometimes used as a simple expression for dwelling in an abode or sharing quarters. To the extent that such quarters are the home of another, the one staying is the recipient of hospitality. So again, if we are abiding with Christ or we are abiding in God, we are a welcome guest and been shown some hospitality, thus the love that is shown to this child of God. Now, the word is particularly common in the writings of the Apostle John, the theological workbook says, who exploits the metaphorical dimension of dwelling and of hospitality to describe the relationship of the believer to Christ. So what this means is John knows that there's this metaphor to stay and to live with and to dwell with. And so he's going to use that word to exploit that relationship between the believer and Christ and to the Spirit, as well as Christ's relationship to the Father. So abide means that we take up residence with God. And it also has this sense of action about it. It has a sense that the action will also continue. And this is consistent with our English word for abide, which when you take the bite of defining the word, which literally means just looking it up in the dictionary, you're going to find that the English word for abide includes things like this in the definition, things like to submit to or to have as one's home, to stay in the same place, position, or level, or to persist with a course of action. All those elements that we just talked about as we looked up what that word abide meant. So to abide with God means that we make our home with him. And if you've ever lived with anyone, you tend to pick up the way they do things. You know, like at our house, we make the bed, except on Sundays, because Sundays are nap days and you're just going to climb right back in. But if you live with the Nezats, you make the bed. That's just how we roll. So you see this same sentiment in 1 John 2:6. It says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So I encourage you to explore this theme. It's of high concern to God. It's repeated over and over in 1 John, but here's just a few more verses to get you started, and then we're going to move on to our next thought. But you'll see it in verses like 1 John 2:24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in his Father. That's profound. How about 1 John 3:6? No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Or 1 John 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So meditate on what it means to abide and then measure your life against God's definition. If you're not abiding like 1 John describes abiding, then adjust your life accordingly. But I don't want to miss out on what I discovered as inspired by our song when considering what 1 John has to say about being children of God. Now, the interesting thing about reading with your antenna up for one thing, like a theme, for example, which now that I think about is a bite, exploring a theme is a bite. I guess normally I explore themes throughout scripture. And in this case, I'm only looking at one book, but it could be fun. You could explore the theme of being a child of God throughout scripture. I digress. But what I meant to say is that when you want to look for another theme, then you'll need to read through the text again. So I let the theme of abide kind of come to the surface and I meditated on that. But now that I'm turning my attention to being a child of God, I'm going to read through 1 John all over again, looking for context and every time that's mentioned. So this automatically takes the bite of repetition. So I know you've already read it already, but you'll see all new things when you read it again, looking for what we can learn about being children of God. Now, you'll notice as you read the text that John calls the reader children or my little children, which is a term of endearment. This is not the phrase that we're looking for in this case. So in my study, I saw the exact phrase children of God, but I also saw God's children or born of God or born of him. These are the phrases that I'm looking for, and thus the scriptures and the text, the context around the scriptures that I'm looking for. Now, I actually took the bite of marking up the text again. I highlighted in a different color, in my case, green, each of these instances so that it was easier to visually see and go back to. And then I took a bite of making a list. Now, I'm going to read the list and put the verse references in the show notes for you. You can find those at michellenezat.com/457. But here's how John describes children of God. Number one, children of God practice righteousness. In 1 John 2:29, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Our identity in Christ as children of God is not passive. It's active. So with our new identity comes new promises. Yes, of course, but also new purpose and passion. God is concerned with our actions. And as a child of God, they are to be righteous. All right, next, we can anticipate further transformation at the second coming of Christ. So as children of God, we have been transformed and yet we're not completely transformed. So in 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So what will be has not yet appeared. We've been changed, but more change is coming. And this is just a wonderful expectation that we have in Christ. All right, let's go next. The children of God don't practice sinning. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. So as you study 1 John, you're going to see that John is not saying that Christians will never sin, but a child of God will not like continue in that sin. A child of God will confess and repent and instead respond in righteousness, like we've already talked about. My husband and I were having dinner with friends this week, and we rejoiced in this testimony of a couple who were living together but were not married. And they attended a class at our church. They heard the truth, and instead of continuing in sin, they confessed, repented, and got married, which is just so amazing. So God's seed, the Holy Spirit, abiding in them, could not allow them to walk on in sin, but gently brought them into obedience. All right, next verse. They are the children of God are contrasted with the children of the devil. So in 1 John 3:10, it says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Oh, okay. So our identity in Christ is something to sing about. Yes, to be sure. I am a child of the Most High God, but it should be evident, meaning it can be seen by others. All right, the next one is closely related and actually found in this verse and others, but in fact, including the one I just read, but the children of God love each other. So this is one of God's main concerns that rose to the surface for me this week. The theme of love found in 1 John would be an amazing theme for you to study if you want to stay in 1 John a little longer. It says they know God in 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. All right. And then children of God believe that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. See that theme again? Loving other people too, loving fellow believers as well. All right, and then 1 John 5:2 says they love God and obey his commands. So it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands. Now, isn't that wording interesting to you? So the evidence that we love the children of God is not making excuses for their sin. It's not flattering them with words. The evidence that we love the children of God is our love for God and our obedience to his commands. So our submission to God's authority in our lives is evidence of our love for God's children. That there's just so much more to study there and to ponder, but we need to move on. So the children of God overcome the world. 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, children of God are overcomers. Yes and amen. All right, now the final two come from the same verse. They are not touched by the evil one, and they protect fellow believers. So 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. What a list. So now when you sing, I'm a child of the Most High God, you can think of all that. You can think of what that really means in the greater context, in a deeper dive. But before we wrap up today, I sang this song a little differently after reading a book by Valerie Howard. It's called Avalon, A Christian Allegory. It's a story of an angry, broken slave girl named Mara who was rescued by Prince Justinius. And upon her surrender to Prince Justinius, she immediately got a new name and she got papers confirming her adoption into the family. He gave her a ring, promising her a future in the kingdom as his bride. And the thing is that they have a bit of a journey together before reaching their final destination at the palace. And as any child of God knows, it seems pretty unreal that our perfect Savior would really take us as we are. And Princess Adeline had these same feelings of wonder and then also of doubt. In fact, along the journey, two men from the enemy's side approached the princess when she had aimlessly wandered from the prince. And this is what they said to her. Prince Justinius does not rescue slaves, you know. He captures them. And yes, you have slave written all over your battered, toothless face. So don't look so surprised that I recognized you as such. Why would the prince marry a rebel slave? Don't you think he could have his choice of fine, noble women to marry? Don't take offense, but he could partner with someone who has a straight nose, who doesn't limp, and perhaps someone who hasn't spent most of her life hating him. Really think about it. The fact that any of you fall for this would be funny if it wasn't so sad. And then it goes on to the thought process of the princess. And she thinks to herself, no prince would want her. No king would accept her. She'd known that all along. The only reasonable explanation was that this was an elaborate scheme, a trap. You may be feeling these doubts. And what Ben Fuller wants you to know through his song and what God wants you to know through his word is that if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are a child of the Most High God and you are loved. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The rest of the verse explains why the bullies in this story and our enemies in this world can't understand it. It goes on to say, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And what they don't know is that our Prince of Peace sees us like we are and doesn't leave us there. And he sees us like we will be when we see him face to face. So what's next? We'll read 1 John again this week. Spend a couple days meditating on something that's really important to God, and that is abiding. Ponder what it means and what it looks like here in Scripture and as it plays out in our lives. And then shift your attention to being a child of God. What should be evident in our lives as a result of this holy transformation? And then celebrate with your Savior. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat or on Facebook. Michelle L. Nezat is my public page, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then I would be honored if you followed the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. But if you sign up on my website, then I can email you once a week with the show notes, with all the scriptures I use, links to all the resources, including resources that I didn't mention on the podcast. Now, my featured free resource for new email subscribers this week is an archive of my interactive worksheets that I've created for various podcasts over the years. You can find them all in one place in the archive I've created, and you'll gain exclusive access to that archive when you subscribe to my email list at michellenezat.com. With that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed lately, like April from Nebraska, Christina from Oregon, Tammy from the U.S., Sarah from Florida, Elizabeth from Utah, Debbie from Texas, Danielle from the U.K., Sherry from Tennessee, and Twyla from Kentucky. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com, through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, you can do that where you listen to the podcast, or you can head over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be featuring God Really Loves Us by Crowder to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/457.